Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Elizabeth, does one believe that it could ever be reasonable to give an ultimatum in a relationship?
Yes, but with caveats.
Yes, so I thought it wouldn't be
Ultimatum isn't a you do this or else. It's a if you don't do this, I'm going to have to look after my needs. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not a you need to take this action or you'll be sorry. It's a, okay, well, I would like this, and if I can't get that, then I'm going to have to think about my role in the relationship. You know, it's more saying it's setting a boundary for yourself rather than ultimatum for someone else. Does that make sense?
Yes. So the important first step is redefining or it's giving this ultimatum, this healthier ultimatum, its own category.
Because, for example, I've given one to an ex where I said, look, I really would like to get married. And So I just take the focus off them. I'm like, I want to get married.
Yes.
And I really hope that's to you. But if it's not and you're not keen on that, I'm going to need you to let me know so that I can make an informed decision about the future of our relationship. That's not me saying propose or I'm out. That's me saying here's what I want. And if you can't give that to me, then I'm going to have to think about what's going to happen in the future.
Yes, interesting.
You know, it's just not blaming the behavior on somebody else. It's not putting the burden of behavior on someone else. Like, they're free to not want what you want. They just need to let you know so that you can choose whether you can do without it or not.
Is it not just, are we not just rebranding, but it's the same thing anyway? If your partner smokes, say, and your ultimatum to them is stop smoke, cut down or stop or quit smoking by X. Otherwise, I don't see how I can stay in this relationship.
I don't think I would say to someone stop smoking. I think I would say I don't like being around gambling.
Yeah, whatever. Choose your.
Yeah. So rather than saying you need to stop smoking or you need to stop drinking, I'd say if you can't, then I'm going to have to think about what I want to do about this, because this is not something that I can be around. So it's taking full responsibility that you're not trying to control somebody else's behavior. You're saying this is my boundary, and if you can't, you know, behave within that boundary, then I will make a decision on what I would like to do with that.
Yes.
I just don't think you should, you know, don't do that, shake finger at other people. It's all got to be based on you deciding what you want to do.
So there is room for the ultimatum in a relationship, but it has to be...
It's almost like a self-ultimatum.
You have to tweak it more. The language has to be nicer. The delivery, the intention behind it.
Yeah, less blamey. It's just, if you can't do what I need, then I'm going to think about what I want to do about that.
Here is a problem I have an issue with. I need,
it's reframing it, absolutely, so that you are boundary setting for yourself rather than controlling somebody else's behavior, I believe.
And you're probably much more likely to get a result than a black and white, right, by this date, I want this behavior curve.
If somebody ever set me a boundary like that, in that way, like you need to change this by this date, I'd be like, I'm going to do it 50 times up until that date. Goodbye.
Yes, that's right.
Welcome to Ghosts of Boyfriends Past. I'm Liz Best.
And I'm Tom Harris, one to ponder over everybody at home.
I think I want to paint... I want to make a note to ask this question of any ultimatums that people have set and what the result
successful,
was.
Unsuccessful, grown up and mature.
Write
or
in
childish.
And tell us.
Yeah, let's hear it. Well, welcome to the show, one, and hello and welcome to the show all. You know what we're doing by now, all of you seasoned readers of this here little podcast.
And if you don't, we've got a fair few episodes you can listen to get up to speed. If this is your first episode, welcome. but we're not going to go over everything as much. You can just listen to the rest of our back catalogue because that's the energy levels that I have today.
But one inescapable fact is this show requires a guest. At least our main long episodes do. And we have a returning guest on, yes, on the show today. It's very exciting.
From,
not a first time.
Jackie and the Tractor Date. Yes. We got Jackie Azorio.
Hello.
Come on down, Jacqueline.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, now, she's literally back from overseas. Like, I am. She's here for such a short time. And I'm like, by the way, can you drop by the podcast studio if you've got some stories?
And I said, I would love nothing more.
Fabulous.
That's honestly why I came back. I was hoping.
Yes. She came all the way back from London just to be on this podcast.
It's been 3 years I've been able to be back.
Where has that time
flown? COVID. That's where it all melted into one big germy puddle. And then
a lot has happened since then.
So much. My goodness.
We did say to new readers that we're going to be cool and not talk about the rules and all that, but we kind of have to because we have a guest.
The lawyers say that we have to.
Remind our guest, I don't care about the audience. You figure it out your own this week, but to our guest.
I have no memory of things, so please
you have zero recollection of this place. Alrighty. First things first, the people or persons you were talking about before, try and bring an alias would be good.
Mm-hmm. Do bring an alias. Sorry. Thank you so much.
And in doing that, please know, well, people at home who figure out who Jacqueline's talking about today and you cyber sleuths, we don't want sharing of information, real names, email addresses, phone numbers.
This is not what we're about. To learn. Yes, we're not here to dox anybody. We're not here to be like armchair super sleuths. That's bullshit. No. And that kind of leads into our next don't be a dick rule. And the whole no threats. So like if you really don't like the person you're talking about, wait till the mics are off and then we can bitch about them all you like, but threats on mic.
We get some fantastic behind the scenes swearing and threats on this show when the microphones are all off and then they kick off. Yeah, some good behind the scenes.
One day we'll
stuff.
Have like a $50 Patreon level and you can hear all the shit and that we say behind the scenes.
Strictly 18 plus, but that's our guest.
No, that sounds pretty straightforward.
They're great. Our rules. As we alluded to here on Ghosts of Boyfriends Past, we're not about pitchforks and tearing others down. We try and figure out the facts and at the end we'll piece together, what did we learn? We try and bring education to it rather than just pointing and laughing. There's plenty of pointing and laughing.
Don't get us
plenty
wrong.
Plenty of pointing
so
and laughing.
So much
Do
pointing.
Do not get me wrong, but we have to try and justify that with a bit of good stuff as well. That's us. That's a guest.
Now you.
Now me. Cool. I've got a couple for you tonight. The first one, it happened, I would say, first year of the lockdown. And I had been out of my last long-term relationship for a few months. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, it's time to start dating again. So I did all that. Got on the apps, doing all my swipes, found a guy. We shall call him Edgar.
Edgar, okay.
And Edgar was great. Really great, funny. We got along. Everything is working as far as I'm concerned. Yep. We meet up. We've met up, I would say, it's a bit far away now, but I think we met up about 2 or 3 times and just like saw a comedy night show together or like had a drink at a bar. Very normal stuff, like really, really good. And then I went out to a party with some buddies and I got so drunk, like really bad. And it was, I also think I should preface this by saying I was also on antidepressants at the time. And if you've been on antidepressants before, you'll know what happens when you mix alcohol with those, at least in my case.
Some of them can make you very shit-faced very fucking quickly.
But the thing is, it didn't hit me. It was fine, not fine, immediately, really quickly. But in the couple of fines before it was not fine, I was drunk texting this guy. We haven't slept together yet, okay, at this point. We've kissed. We haven't done the deed. But I am drunk texting him, like, everything you can imagine. And I say something like, oh, I wish you were here. Like, you should come party. I don't know if I meant that. Anyway, the result was he actually did turn up. He's a sober guy turning up to a party that's winding down and I'm about one fine away from not fine.
Right.
Yes.
I don't even know if he had a single drink. I'm not even sure. But basically I was like, oh, I'm starting to feel not so good. I need to go home. And being drunk, I was like, you should come, right? Okay. And of course, he was like, Jackie's great. You know, I'll go. I'll make sure she gets home safe.
And you've had couple of,
he's not a stranger. We good get dates. Along well. I was planning to sleep with this man. Yeah. Like, it was going really well. So we get home and I don't have much memory. I think I vomited in the street. I think that I fell in a bush. I got back home and he was with me. We were laughing and that sort of thing. But I'm like, at this point, Jackie Wallbanger, they call me. Yeah. And I'm bouncing off the hallway walls. I'm falling up the stairs to my bedroom. And he's just behind me going, whoa, are you okay? Like, you okay? And we get back to my bedroom. And at this point, I feel like I don't have a very clear recollection, okay?
Okay.
So I 100% believe that I was like, come get some. Like, I 100% will own up to that and say I was giving him all the signals. But I was so drunk that I have no memory of this. And he was sober. So anyway, pretty sure we have sex. I don't remember. And I also just want to say I'm fine. I'm really fine. This is a few years ago.
Good.
I've dealt with this. Everything's okay.
Calm down. Yep.
But at the time, I remember snippets. Like, I have these, you know, one snippet of like the shirt comes off and then a snippet of having weight on me and like these little flashes of memory. And one of the flashes of memory is looking at my own eyes in the mirror of the bathroom, absolutely like makeup streaked, crying, red. And then in the morning, he is off, like he's a bit weird, and I'm sort of weird as well, like I'm like, oh, you know, what happened? And he turned to me and he said, well, you know, after we had sex, you came back into the bedroom and were crying and you begged me not to hurt you.
Oof.
And I was like, I did? I have no memory of this. I have absolutely no memory. Obviously hungover as hell as well, so that didn't help things. And so we were both just a little bit weird that morning and he was like, oh, I you know, I better go. And I was like, yeah, okay. Well, I'll see you soon. Like, we made plans. And then we did make plans and we made, I think, 3 or 4 dates after that that we would go on. And every single time I couldn't stop trembling. Like, I was having these anxiety reactions when we would just sit across from each other and talk. I would like my hands would be constantly
physical, yeah,
there was like this reactions. Physical expression of something. Even though in my brain I'm like, I like this man, we get along great, I'm enjoying seeing him, but I was just constantly on edge. And he would notice, of course, and he would like reach across and kind of hold my hand and be like, are you okay? Like, calm down. And it kind of slowly over the next couple of dates, I was like, I'm starting to think that I'm not okay with what happened. And I'm not blaming you. I'm not saying that this is, you know, all your fault. I'm not saying the R word or anything like this, but I have to acknowledge that it's had some kind of effect on me subconsciously or, you know, even consciously. And then I've forgotten it. I don't know, but I just need some space now. So can we just put the brakes on? And long story short, we didn't see each other really again after that, because as I was thinking about it, I was like, I can't, how can I make this work when I can't even hold this guy's hand without my heart starting to race, right? And I'm a very level-headed, chill person. This kind of stuff usually like doesn't happen to me. So this is kind of the first time I've really experienced that before. And it made me do a lot of like, ooh, what happened? How can I not let this happen again? I felt guilt as well because I texted him drunkenly and I drunkenly, you know, beckoned him to my boudoir. And, you know, I absolutely probably was like, let's fuck. Sorry, yeah. I swear. But I was
have
like,
you listened to this podcast before? We're good. We're good.
I 100% believe I did all those things and gave him all the green lights. But, you know, we talked about this and he did come back to me. I can't remember if it was an email, but I have this memory of him sending me this long email of like explanations of why we should try giving this a shot and like what happened. And he lived with his mum at the time, just because, you know, housing in London the way it is.
Hey, I've just moved back in with my parents.
Yeah, so. no shame in that. But he talked to her about it and she was like, you shouldn't have slept with that girl that night. You shouldn't have done it. She was absolutely off her face drunk. You were sober. You shouldn't. And it was the first time as well. So that was the end of it. And it's actually a really sad story because he's not a bad guy, Edgar. Yeah. He's actually a really decent, lovely person. Mm. But I feel like it was just kind of just the perfect, you know, series of wrong choices in one night. Nobody's fault, I don't think.
It's the perfect example of grey area in the fact that I am firmly of the belief that drunk people can't consent. However, there's a lot of and the fact that he even talked to his mum about it,
mm-hmm.
like that's introspective. Like that's thinking about it, trying to figure
out.
Not
a bad guy, you know? Yeah. Thoughtful yeah, person. Yeah. Mm.
But I just keep going back to that comic that have you seen that cartoon about consent is like tea,
mm-hmm. yeah,
yep.
and if you're drunk, you can't say, you know, if someone goes, I don't want tea, or someone doesn't give you an answer about tea, you can't keep pouring the tea down their throat if they're not able to tell you that they really want tea.
Yeah.
Jackie, when you first woke up the next morning and he said to you what had happened last night, that you were crying and you'd said, don't hurt me, what went through your brain at that moment?
Well, at first, I think my instant reaction is to kind of laugh things off.
Of course.
Like that's where my brain goes. And just to really ward off the seriousness of the situation. I don't want that to sink in.
Yeah.
And I'm very also about keeping peace between two people.
Of course.
And I don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. So if, you know, he's saying, he was just like, are you okay? You know, you were really distressed last night. That kind of thing. And then my, I guess, response was to be like, no, it's fine. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. I was just really drunk. Like, are you okay? Like, I didn't mean to scare you. Like, so, you know, made it about making him a bit more comfortable.
Because also in your heart, you were very fuck yes sex before the drunkenness as well.
But I think it was the combination as well of being on the antidepressants and then, you know, suddenly I'm getting drunk in a way that I'm not used to.
Yeah.
And having that
blackout drunk.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that's scary. And that had happened maybe once before when I was with some mates at a party. I was like, party, asleep now.
Yeah.
And I have flash. They had to pick me up and put me in a taxi. And I have this weird memory of them, like, you know, going, talk to us, Jackie. Like, how's this? Tell me about this and tell me about that. And me just being like, I had to sleep. I have so weird. So it has happened before. But not in a situation where I've then participated in like physical sex with someone and have no concept of it being in charge of that. And just it happened. I must have been moving. I must have been participating.
Mm.
No memory at all. It's scary.
So there's one more thing that you told me about this when we were having dinner that I also wanted to mention as well. I remember Jackie telling me that she had to be helped to walk up the stairs.
Yes.
That she could not walk up the stairs by herself, which I think
after is... getting drunkenly home and then, you know, banging down the hallway, I fell up the stairs more than once. Slipped, fell, giggled, slipped, fall, another giggle. He's there behind me kind of helping me get up the stairs. But yeah, at that point, maybe you do look at that and go, this is not someone who needs to be having sex right now.
Yeah.
For the first time with me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And there's still that, you know, 10% of me that's going, poor guy.
I know. But because he's not a bad person.
But I think if you're a good person, that's a mistake you only make once.
Yeah, I do think he won't make that mistake. Honestly.
Can we go lessons learned for this story now and then swing round to the...
Absolutely, lighthearted one.
Well, because I just don't want to... This is quite an important topic want to kind of forget what we wanted to say. But my biggest one is that drunk people cannot consent.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to... Like, there's so much education on, you know, if it's not a fuck yes, it's a no. But for all intents and purposes, Jackie might well have been going, fuck yes.
I think I probably was,
But people with diminished capacity don't have the brain cells active to make those decisions.
Yeah.
So I think you just need to... It's such a grey area, but I blanket think drunk people can't consent.
No, that's quite fair, and very important. It's something everyone needs to keep a tab on, an eye out for going forward. Your interactions with someone who's been drinking, maybe they've had more than you, maybe you've had more than them. Well, how are you going to respond to the prompt of sex? Looking at Edgar's behavior, I mean, you guys probably shouldn't have had sex. That's probably the first blanket issue.
I think so.
His behavior after this, he's getting thumbs up across the, like, pretty good. How did he do? Yeah. Do we reckon?
I think he did the only thing he could do, honestly, which was come forward straight away and say, "You were distressed. Are you okay?" And then, you know, when I needed space from it, went and spoke to his mother about it for advice, and then, you know, really thought about it, and then, you know, reached out to me to try and keep it going, in a really thoughtful way, and you know, owned up to, "I shouldn't have slept with you. You know, is there any way we can get past this?" And unfortunately, I didn't think there was. Mm. I don't think that he will do this again. I honestly think that, you know, he'll go into the next one a bit more responsibly. Mm. That's it. If you're the sober person, you just got to, I guess, step up. Like I like to think that I would maybe do that.
Yeah, stuff happens when you're both shit-faced, right?
Absolutely.
But there is absolutely a power imbalance when one person is shit-faced and one person is relatively sober. And I think that needs to come into play as well.
Yeah.
Where, like, if you are sober and with someone, like, that's an absolute blanket no. Whereas you can navigate it if you're both a little bit drunk and a little bit horny.
Yeah, I get it.
But if someone can't walk, probs don't have sex with them. That's probably a really good... Yes. I mean, unless... not in an ableist way.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if someone is paralytically drunk to the point where their legs don't walk... then, you know, maybe no.
But my inkling is that this was a good boy who fucked up a little bit having sex with a very drunk person, and he'll go back into his shell and study and learn. And he's talked to another woman about it, so he's trying to. I think he'll going forward. He'll correct his missteps.
It's just a sad story.
Yeah,
because you know, two good people could have had a fun time, and it just kind of ended a bit sad. Yeah.
Now, can I just ask, afterwards, were you still anxious about physical touch around other people after that, or was it a specific thing?
You know, my instant response is to say, "No, I'm fine." But to be fair, I've only had two other flings in that space of time. So my, you know, my dating life really did drop off a lot after that. I was, it wasn't until I think about a year and a half later that it's not something that I really committed to that. I wasn't like, "Yeah, absolutely. I'm not seeing no more men." It just kind of happened that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, that question does make me think, is that related to why I kind of stopped dating so much?
I mean, also COVID lockdowns and people cesspools in general.
I think it's probably, honestly, like I'm fine. I have a great support system around me. I've talked to lots of friends about it. And I think it just kind of goes down as chalk it up to experience. You know, next time we'll both know better sort of situation.
And that's kind of why I wanted you to come and tell this specific story is because I think it's very good to hear situations where it's not black and white. Mm. We're not using the R word. It's just a situation where consent was not blanket. And it was a, like, how you manage with a grey area that.
No, thank you for story one on this week's episode.
It's
an important one to hear, and I hope everyone at home will be thanking you for bringing it to us and for being brave to share it.
No worries.
We're going to trickle on to a second story.
Oh, yes, it's a bit more lighthearted.
To lighten the mood. So it's a sea change, everybody. Yes. Get a change of clothes.
This is a very funny one that I love to tell. I've told it in my stand-up a couple of times. And
fantastic.
It's gone down well.
Okay,
so this has happened within the last year or so. I met a man on an app, and it was fireworks. It was great. Beautiful man.
Mm.
We shall call him Jonah.
Jonah.
Beautiful, beautiful man. And we have all the same. We like the same movies. Everything's going great guns. Date three, I'm at his house. We're watching a film together.
Into
having like rum and coke, and it's just going really well. We start to make out.
Delicious.
It's going. And we get, you know, I'm sitting on top of him and I'm pinning him down and I'm like, rawr. And he's like, ooh, it's all great, right?
It's all happening. Oh,
and then so then I'm like, you know what? Let's move this to the bedroom. Let's do it. And so he's like, awesome, awesome. And we go to his bedroom and I feel kind of silly for not sort of scoping this out before. But we went in and it was absolutely toys, like figurines.
Oh, yes.
Like action figurines.
In their boxes, or just on the floor.
Like he was playing with them. I don't know.
What else was on the floor, Jackie?
The mattress.
Yeah.
Yes, we love a mattress on the floor.
No bedframe to go.
No bedframe. Liz Best is out of there.
Yes, no mood lighting, just the big light and that's it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, which he left on as well. No candles.
So you can see all the toys.
Laundry. Yeah, obviously.
You don't want to mood light.
So we kind of go in and I'm like, well, we've come this far. So we, you know, we move to the mattress and, you know, things are going okay. He goes to have a chat with my downstairs landlady.
Yes.
I thought that was a euphemism.
And, it is. It's very much a euphemism.
Right.
Just small talk at this point, you know.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You just got to warm in these things. And he's doing an absolutely fine job, no problem.
Good.
So I'm lying back, I'm enjoying myself. And then I feel his hands start to slide underneath my ham hocks and like they're getting like an anchor under my body, right?
A wedge underneath you.
And I'm like, you know what, he just wants a handful, that's it, that's fine, that's no problem. And then he's really getting them under there. And I'm like, okay, that's all right.
He's trying to lift
and
me.
And then they kind of like, they swivel a little bit. And
the
I'm
hand
like,
gestures here on my face.
Yeah, man.
And then all of a sudden, he's lifted and he's folded me in half like a French omelette. He's folded me and my legs have gone whoop.
So it's like heels overhead, bad kind of deal.
Heels overhead. Right.
Yeah.
My legs have gone that way. My tits have gone bonk bonk into my eyes and all of the air in my body has gone like just squeezed out of me. And
you've been
the big light is shining down and
this
he's
is why
like,
I don't do yoga because you can't, it just.
Honey, I'm 36, my spine doesn't
nothing,
bend that
nothing
way.
Moves. Are you kidding?
And I was like, stop. No, I was like, and you know, because, you know, it was, and he did. And I was like, what was that? Why did you do that? And he was just like, oh, my neck was starting to get sore. And I was like,
so it's going to break your back?
So I thought I'd fold
there
you
are
in half.
So many things you could have done instead of folding me like a calzone, like a sex frittata that would have helped your neck in this moment. And we kind of laughed it off at that point. But the rest of it didn't go so great. But so I was like, listen, it's fine, it's fine. I'll see you next time. There was no next time. But, you know. So I go home and I had to Google what happened to me because I was a little like, oh,
what?
Now, where what am you, I? Now, who am I?
I must inquire, what words right. do you put into Google?
I did. Well, I what did I put? I put like folded in half sex position. Why?
I'm sure you paid.
Question mark.
Yes.
And I would love to show this to you.
Okay.
And maybe you can put it on the, I don't know if you guys put pictures on the
group.
Yeah,
we can put it in the
that's what it was.
Group.
That's the. Okay. That's what it was.
Yes.
Can you see
hold
that?
On, hold on.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
It's
so that's like asshole fully skyward. Oh, everything in the undercarriage was facing the big light, my love. It was like he was peering down into a cave with a head torch, looking for something.
You ever rummaged around the bottom of a handbag?
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
it's like
my
a Mary Poppins fucking bag kind of situation.
So that happened to me. And it's called, and I went to, it's called sexpositions.club.
Oh, good.
Yes.
That's where I found it. And it's called Sex Position
192.
192. By the way,
192.
How many do you know, Tom?
Not even nine. Not even two. Let alone 192.
There's
Are you
more
kidding?
Than two? So,
what's it called? Sorry,
it's called Dragon, and I don't quite see it myself.
I don't. How is that a? No, I just kind of
maybe the legs are meant to be the wings. Oh, the wings. It could be.
Makes
no sense to me. Let me tell you.
I don't know.
So, the description. I'll just give you a brief.
Yes, please.
Yes.
In this position, the woman gets very vivid emotions with oral sex since her body is completely open to both her male partner and herself at the same time.
Oh.
And let me tell you, I was experiencing vivid emotions, so they weren't wrong. I thought, this is it. This is how they find me. My legs are akimbo, suffocated by my own tits.
The crime scene dead photographer at 36 taking
from
photos
a sex
of
position
you.
Called yeah. Dragon.
Rigor anyway, mortis on your neck. Yeah.
Oh, so, my God.
So that happened.
It's like the picture. I'm just trying to think of how to describe it. It's like you're trying to do one of those air bicycles, except someone else is pushing you into it and also chowing down on you at the same time.
Oh, my God. And like, you know, if I was a young and bendy, springy Bambi of a girl, maybe.
Mayhaps.
Maybe.
Mayhaps.
But I'm not. No. Anybody who's cast eyes upon me can see at a glance that I do not bend that way.
No.
I don't do well in that position.
Honestly,
Liz.
Most people in our 30s don't.
No. So yes. Anyway, won't be doing that again anytime soon.
No, thank you. And I shan't be investigating that one further either.
Well, yeah. I'm sure we can put a little picture, a little infographic of that particular move. 192.
Now, that'll be going into the group therapy group. So please join up if you want to see it, because I feel like we might get a little bit sensitive if we put it out in the real world.
But desperate to know, what does one learn from this little encounter?
Jackie, what does one learn?
I'm just going to throw in, you can say no at the mattress, yeah, the mattress on the floor. You can say, you can bail out of that. Of
that's
that
the Liz
beforehand.
Best no.
Yeah.
Look, I think I've learned that, you know, any experience can be turned into comedy. And,
yes.
You know, I have no regrets for that reason because it makes me laugh so much.
Oh, shit, yeah.
But also that, you know, you can also say no at the door once you've seen all the anime figures on the ground.
Hey,
and the bed frame.
I'm not trying to.
And
no, I am trying to. The bed frame thing, I've got a strong, that's a boundary for me. But I know a lot of people who have
action
figurines.
Action figures
and that's
figurines.
Okay.
But put them on a shelf.
Like, yeah, display them. Don't look like you've just been having some kind of battle in the middle of the mattress.
More than
foreground.
Happy for you to have collectibles. Yes. I have 2 Funko Pops. But like, you can definitely do that. But maybe in preparation for a lady visitor, but perchance to dust your bedroom.
Tidy your room.
Yes. You know?
Yes. Get a fucking lamp and a bed frame.
That's the other one.
That's my lesson.
Get a lamp. Mood lighting goes a long, long way.
Overhead lighting is harsh and unforgiving.
Yep.
Always lamp.
Yes,
always.
Yes, my friend. You might want to look at the beautiful woman under the light, but do you think she wants to see all of you?
No.
There are crooks and crevices and nooks and crannies on everybody that doesn't need the full sun salute.
He looked deeper into my soul than anyone I've ever looked into. My God.
Oh, it's funny. I'm not gonna lie, it's funny.
Yeah.
It is funny.
Good palate cleanser, right? Yes.
Yes, wonderful palate cleanser.
Good.
Jackie, thank you so much for coming all the way from England to be on our lovely little podcast.
No worries.
We're going to bring Jackie back for another episode. We don't know if it's going to air directly after this one, or maybe we might be shifty.
But it might do. When we have these guests that have these great stories and they're in town for only a brief time, we have to grab them. So you will hear Jacqueline again in the future.
Can't wait.
Absolutely. In the meantime, if you want to see the dragon without Googling it,
that's not
for your own good.
That's not Jacqueline's live show.
Oh my God, new title. 192 Dragon.
That's it.
If you know, you know.
Yeah, join our Ghosts of Boyfriends Past group therapy group. That's where we get people offering advice, asking for advice, posting memes, posting sex positions now, I guess.
Yes.
That's maybe what we do now. Please join Ghosts of Boyfriends Past group therapy. If you love our show, tell someone about it. Tell someone at work about it. Have a chat about an episode. If you still haven't rated or reviewed us somewhere, what are you doing?
Someone you know is looking for something to do to let their life slip away in front of their eyes. That thing can be Ghosts of Boyfriends Past.
That thing should
be
Ghosts. That's what I do with this podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Just pass the time away.
No.
Otherwise, jump on the internet. I'm not going to give you direct directions. You'll figure it out. Go to thatsnotcanon.com. There's podcast galore on that little website.
I feel like that was direct directions. You literally gave them the address.
No, I'm not going to go to the computer, open up the thing, put your password in.
HTTP.
Yes, HTTP. dot, yes, find a podcast there. There's
so many.
You'll find something. Spread the love, but keep coming back to Ghosts of Boyfriends Past. I'm Tom Harrison. Across from me is Elizabeth Best. I think that might just about do us. Thank you for listening, and go well, everybody. Just go well.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The ancient and esoteric order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.